Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say!
This fucking team.
This was like basically AVB era, you know, kind of collapse where it just looks like nobody gives a shit. You know, the manager doesn't know what to do about it. You know, Pochettino just like looked sad.
There was no response. Like, they had like 2 minutes where it was like, oh, they look a little lively in the second half. And the only reason I'm saying that is because they look so bad in the first half. You know, I actually would, if they like sucked like they did the first half and then like sort of came out firing in the second, I would actually have some like truck with, oh, well, like, you know, Hugo maybe ended his career and the team might have been a little fucked up by that. But, you know, I have no sympathy for.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, the fact that they didn't come out fighting in the second half or, like, even seem to show much of a response after, you know, Hugo ripped his own arm off, like, I mean, it just tells you what we kind of already suspected, that, you know, there's nothing there anymore, you know?
Yeah, it's just, you know, we've been talking about this for weeks, you know, both, like, on the podcast, on Twitter, in the chat room, you know, when you and I bullshit. It's like there is a huge problem in Spurs right now, and we can excuse away some things every week, like dumb things happen, and, you know, this week's maybe another example of that with Hugo, like, breaking his arm, but, yeah, like, come on, like, these problems, there's too many data points at this point to ignore it, and...
Right, all these individual problems, like, become a pattern very quickly.
Yeah, and if, like, they were running around and creating even, like, bad chances today, like, I might be a little more forgiving of it and allow myself to be talked into some of the excuses, but no, that's not what happened. Like, they weren't even creating chances.
Like, it does, like, I don't even care about creating chances. Like, the only thing we needed to see today was, like, give a shit, you know? Like, we've just lost 7-2. Pochettino all week has got to be like, okay, that was bad, but, like, gotta come out on Saturday and put it behind us and, like, show that we're still out here, like, as a team, pulling in the same direction and trying shit. And, like, yes, Hugo getting injured that quickly and throwing away a goal is, like, a real perfect storm of demoralization to, like, completely end whatever planned fight back you had. But, like, at the same time, it's also, like, an opportunity to, like, show that resilience and, like, show you give a shit.
Yeah, you know,
and
what
nobody
that,
did.
You know what that buys you? That buys you, like, 20, 30, maybe even 40 minutes of, like, looking kind of, like, out of it. Like, I get it. That would affect me, too. I don't mind them looking a little rattled after that. But the fact that at no point in this game did they ever look in it is just, you know, like, that was fucked up, but it's not like Hugo died or anything. You know, it's like, come on, like, you should at least get it together in the second half.
Right. I mean, it was just, there's no tactics, there's no pressing, there was no hustle. Like,
well, and I don't get it.
They're out there, like, waiting for the game to be over.
And I think that there's probably a level of these players are maybe bricking it a little bit with Pochettino, and maybe they're not executing his press exactly. But I don't think that's the case. I think they're lazy, but I think you're right. I think the tactics just aren't there.
Yeah, but I mean, it's hard to have, like, disciplined tactical organization when your players, like, don't give a shit or don't feel like there's any reason to, you know, put the effort into, you know, filling disciplined tactical roles on the pitch when, like, they don't give a shit.
Well, let's talk about, like, I mean, like, look at this team. Like, last year we had a lot of problems in the second half. At the time, we were all willing to write it off as the, like, this squad is thin. We didn't buy anyone in the summer, and everyone's gassed from all this summer tournaments. Like, that's what we all sort of said about Tottenham last year, you know? And I, frankly, don't think, even in retrospect, it still might be true. But
yeah, but I mean, it's like, also, alongside that, like, the team was challenging for the top four pretty comfortably. They made the Champions League run. You know, we'd had we never had like the sustained period of like just flat.
You're right. We had the sustained period of league play where we looked pretty flat. But then, you know, you look at what we were doing in the Champions League, and even we were kind of like, let's be honest, stealing matches against teams. We still looked pretty decent in the Champions League. You know, aside from that second game against City when, you know, our last remaining healthy midfielder went down.
I mean, I guess the thing is, like, we didn't look decent so much as we looked like we were fighting, you know?
You're
like,
right. That's a great way of putting it. This team didn't look like quit like last
dramatic
year.
Dramatic comebacks, you know, like, the team unwilling to quit on themselves, on each other, on the coach, on the competition, and, you know, Lucas scores a late hat trick against Ajax to send us through to the Champions League final.
Well, we fucking whipped the shit out of Ajax for, like, 70% of that game. I mean, it's
right, but it's like, you know, this same team, even in a good day performance-wise, you know, you don't see them believing with 10 minutes to go that, like, yeah, they can score 3 goals and make this happen or whatever, you know, like.
This is going to sound dumb. I'd feel better, at least from a player perspective, if this looked like the Newcastle game, because, like, the Newcastle game sucked, but at least I didn't feel like the players didn't give a shit, like. You know, like, that's where it just felt like the tactics are stayed. But you're right. It's like there's no fight. And I hate saying shit like that because I think usually that's a fairly lazy criticism of a team. But I think it's accurate here. It's just it doesn't look like there's effort. And I think you pair that with there's just, you know, if there's tactics, I don't see them. You know, it just looks right. Lazy.
It's like effort is a symptom of, like, a problem. And so when you define the problem as, like, lack of effort, you know, normally throughout the season, it's like you're not really describing anything useful. But, like, what I think we mean now when we're talking about effort is that it's, like, the relationship between team and manager is fractured to the point that the manager can't get the players to do the things he wants them to do. And that's not, like, yeah, like, effort is a part of that problem, but, like, it's not, like, the players are lazy is the source of the problem. The problem is, like,
yes.
That whatever cult-like atmosphere that Pochettino has cultivated over the past 5 years is not working. Like, the players are not buying into
it. I mean, it's really not working.
That manifests as laziness, lack of effort, lack of discipline, lack of fight, lack of heart, all that
shit.
Well,
and it's also, like, you know, like, it's all this, like, sort of dumb luck we're having this year, or bad luck we're having this year. Hugo breaking his arm. Ndombele getting hurt so early. Lo Celso getting fucked up on international duty. The VAR thing in the Leicester game, specifically the way that played into the narrative of the overall game. These are all things that are not the cause of the problem. These are just exacerbating a problem. Like, if these things didn't happen, maybe what we're seeing wouldn't be as bad as it is. But it would still, like, something would still be wrong.
Right. And I think, you know, it's unfortunate because I think all of those setbacks, like, if we had some, like, smooth sailing in the early going and we're winning games, that's the kind of thing a manager in this situation needs to, like, get the players back on side and, like, get people believing in the project again. Because it's like, you know, as butthurt as you might be, like, you know, Danny Rose going to the press a year ago complaining about everything, like, once we started winning games, it was like, well, whatever, you know, like, the players are, like, believe in it because it's producing tangible results. And so, you know, what we have instead is, like, this feedback loop where, like, the players are sick of Pochettino's bullshit. Pochettino can't figure out how to cope with the tactical necessities of all these injuries, whatever. And then bad shit starts happening, which just reinforces everybody's belief that, like, why should I be bothering with this shit? And then, you know, another misstep happens and it's like, oh, well, fuck this. You know, it just makes it very easy to quit.
Well, here's the really concerning. Sorry, go ahead, Ben. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was just saying, like, you know, so I think the thing is, like, these problems, these seeds were clearly there before these, like, banana peels started happening, because if they weren't, then they're the kind of things we could have fought through, you know?
Yes, yes. And is there a world in which these banana peels don't fall and maybe Spurs are in a better situation? Maybe, but it doesn't matter, because the fact of the matter is we are in some real fucking trouble now. And here's the thing that really, I think, should be really scary is, like, I think, I mean, I've probably told myself this, I think you alluded to it right there. You know, you said, like, okay, we need a game where we, like, things work, we whip ass, and we can sort of build on it from there. We had that game, what, 2 weeks ago against Palace? Like, we whipped the shit out of Palace. That was, like, I don't think, if you want to, like, break down everything you want to see Tottenham Hotspur doing in a game under Mauricio Pochettino, you know, there are some issues in that game, but, like, considering that all those issues happened when, like, we were up 4-0 in, like, 30 minutes, you know, like, not anything you would consider a real problem, even in retrospect, I don't think. But my point is, we had a game that we should have been able, that was universally positive, that we should have been able to build on. And we just have gone from weakness to weakness ever since, and it's real concerning.
Yeah. I think at this point it's like we need to kind of maybe talk about like what went wrong here. Why was this so fractured to begin with?
So Pochettino was talking, he's talked for a while about Tottenham being brave. I think in retrospect we can see that, you know, he talked about turning over a lot of the squad. Now, we should preface this conversation. We're going to be dealing, I cannot honestly at this point, if we're going to be reaching back to, you know, all this stuff going back to, I guess, last transfer window, not this past summer, but the summer before that, I'm not going to be able to easily differentiate between, like, substantive reporting and bullshit and rumors and bullshit at this point. So if we accidentally are referring to ITK, please be kind with us. But it's just, you know, they talked about overturning the squad, and I think, and I we're always a little charitable to Levy on this podcast, I think the full depth of this problem, I don't think anyone could have predicted it, so I think we should be very kind to them in that regard. But, you know, they needed to start getting guys the fuck out of here, probably last summer, probably more than even Pochettino knew, and it is just highly concerning to me that, you know, we might have dropped this particular ball. Now, I don't know if there's any world in which we could foresee the, like, the size of a catastrophe looming on the horizon, but, and, you know, it's we talked about this a lot on this podcast. How do you replace Christian Eriksen? How do you do all these things? And when you consider that it sure seems like, we've heard rumors to this effect, but it sure seems like Mauricio Pochettino is very precious about who he will and will not bring in. That's made what was already an incredibly difficult task even more difficult. And I don't know. I mean, it's clearly, I think the problem is Ferguson. This is being thrown around Twitter all over the place today. Ferguson always talks about refresh a team every 4 years. Certainly, I think we talked about this on the podcast this week. In American sports, there's the idea of a coach's message getting stale. It seems like that's the heart of the issue here.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, in hindsight, I mean, not in hindsight, we knew at the time that, like, not bringing in anybody for an entire year was a complete fuck-up and a terrible problem.
But we thought we got away with it.
Right. Like, after we got through last season, I think we thought, well, you know, we weathered the storm. And the reality was it was, like, the nail in the coffin that, you know, we should have seen coming. I mean, the result of that meant, you know, players like Eriksen and Toby and whatever, guys who wanted moves then weren't able to get moves because we weren't, you know, turning anything over. And then these guys were, like, running themselves into the ground because our squad was so thin. You know, and it meant, like, a very frustrating style of play with a lot of tactical tweaks trying to compensate for the fact that, like, everybody was bad or we had glaring holes in the squad. And, yeah, I guess, like, last season, as, like, wonderful as that Champions League run must have been, you know, the day-to-day of playing through that season, I can't imagine how much that sucked, you know, and how much, you know, these players who have, like, sacrificed contract wages and transfers because they believe in this project, and then, you know, last season, this is, like, the payoff. You know, the stadium got delayed, the team was bad, we made no reinforcements. It was like, so I can totally see, you know, now, you know, how that would lead to some discontent. And I think the thing that really surprises me, though, is, like, our transfer window, I guess people thought it was going to be bigger and more exciting and splashier than it was to, like, show that, like, these guys stuck around for a reason. And I don't know. Like, I thought, like, Sessegnon, Lo Celso, and Ndombele, like, is a great transfer window. I think had any one of those guys been, like, you know, a fit, like, yeah, shot in the arm to the team from day one, maybe the players would have felt that way, but now it's just, like, it's just the same old bullshit, you know, week after week. We're still fucking playing Sissoko and Winks in midfield, you know. we've lost Trippier. Our squad is arguably worse right now than it was a season ago when it was terrible. And like, yeah, I mean, this is I get unraveling over this.
It really, and it's another one of those banana peels where it's like, what happens if Lo Celso never gets hurt? Because right, we'd probably be seeing him really get integrated into the squad around now. If he'd never gotten injured, what happens if Ndombele got subbed at halftime this year? I haven't looked through all the post-match bullshit. I'm going to guess that's a fitness issue as much as a fuck it, I need to throw Winks on to change shit up issue. But Ndombele, I don't know, sure doesn't look like he's ready to go a full 90 to me yet. He's looked like he's had fitness issues all year, which is weird for a Spurs player who got a full preseason. Yeah, I don't know. The other thing, I guess...
Like, he got injured, and I think we kind of rushed him back a little bit, maybe to paper over some of the cracks, maybe because we were so desperate for him.
But
I don't know.
What you were saying about the transfer window, I also have, like, a similar issue with something else, which is you would have thought you look at that transfer window, and boy, that's ambitious. That's really good. I guess the players were thinking, like, more like, well, fuck it, where's a guy like Dybala? Maybe if you bring in a guy like Dybala, they're like, oh, well, that's a statement of intent. Even if he's maybe not as good as we all think he is, it's still like, that's a big name who can do certain things. It's like a statement of intent. But
right, it's a clear manifestation of, like, the ambition of the project is here.
We're yeah, drop absolutely, absolutely, 100%. And I think that's probably an issue. But what really puzzles me is, like, okay, last season sucked, right? You're annoyed with your boss. You're busting your ass, you're hurt, you're playing through injuries, you have to deal with all this bullshit. But at the end of the day, you made the Champions League final, like, at Tottenham Hotspur. Like, that's fucking crazy. That's still fucking crazy. And no matter how ambitious, no matter what project these players were sold, like, some of these guys were competing for a title at Tottenham, like, 2 or 3 years ago. But still, like, I would imagine, like, that's the answer to all your complaints, or at least a lot of your complaints. And you'd come into this season, like, a little bit refreshed, a little bit ready to give the whole thing another shot. Because, you know what, all that shit last year, it almost worked out, and it still got us to a level that, like, is fucking crazy, and we should probably never be able to do. And I would have thought that was sort of, at least, if there were issues in the squad, it would paper over some of them. It would get guys to sort of reinvest into, the, at least, like, what the manager's saying, even if they're like, okay, it's time to get the fuck out of here. You know, maybe not Eriksen or Aurier, who clearly wanted to go, but, you know, like, other people. And it just doesn't seem to have done that, and that's wild. And I guess it's just they're still sick of Pochettino's bullshit, and maybe all the banana peels are giving them just enough excuse to sort of, like, throw the dead Champions League appearance out the window. I don't know.
I think the players are wrong to quit on Pochettino. Like, I think Pochettino is clearly the best manager we've had maybe ever, but at least since Bill Nick. Like, he's a fantastic coach. And he has done amazing things with his squad and, like, you know, honestly made the careers of a lot of these guys. And so for them to, like, kind of turn on him so fast is just really frustrating, especially with, like, the problems you're talking about, like, lack of squad investment, lack of ambition. You know, it's like, it's not his problem. I mean, it's, you know, he's not part of the problem, but, like, that's, yeah, like, at a higher pay grade problem than Pochettino.
I mean, you know, the whole idea
of Daniel Levy does the transfers.
The whole idea, like, we saw Sissoko in the press, so we can assume there are more amplified versions of this comment about how tiring it is to play the diamond. And I'm like, what fucking team do you think you're on? Especially Sissoko, who's basically here because he has tons of stamina and can run around for 90 minutes. Like, I mean, that is the reason he is on Tottenham Hotspur. And it's just, I just don't get it entirely. And I'm sure there's, like, behind-the-scenes shit. I've, like, you know, we all had a boss who, even if we liked a boss, we just get tired of their shit for a while. So, like, I totally get that. I totally understand how that's a thing. But I'm just, and again, like, maybe if I was, like, sitting in that clubhouse every day, this would all make a lot more sense. But and I guess that's well, from as Americans, that's part of our frustration, which is, if this was happening to an American team in any sport, because of the way it's covered over here, we would have a much clearer idea of what the fuck is going on, because there would be explicit access to players. There's just more access in the clubhouse. I think American journalism, I don't want to say they dig a little bit more, but they report a lot more, whereas I think in England, because there's more of an access issue, you just don't see that. But we started to see stuff trickle out.
And when you do, it's like they'll put a bland news report out and then, like, tweet some juicy behind-the-scenes tidbit. It's like, that's your article, Dan. That's your article, Allie. Like, why are you not reporting on this stuff? this is what people want to hear.
Well, and it's not the most frustrating thing about all this, but like after Spurs' first two or three seasons of the year, you had, I remember I was listening to Gab Marcotti's podcast, and I can't remember the name of the reporter. I apologize, but there was a reporter who was at I think he was at Spurs the first three games of the year, Newcastle, I think, were the first three games of the year. And he was talking about, like, oh, maybe Spurs should have refreshed. Maybe they should have gotten rid of Pochettino. And what frustrates me so much about this is, like, I don't think he knew anything. Because I think something going wrong at Spurs is a juicy story. And I don't think some of these guys would sit on it. I think he was just, like, I think it's like a broken clock is right twice a day. And he's just looking at him a little sluggish at a time when I think it was justifiable to make some excuses for the team. Off that sample set, and they just somehow, like, the natural tendency towards some of these journalists to, you know, extrapolate a crisis out of any situation happened to be right for once. Like, I don't feel like anyone's nailed it, really. I feel probably Julien Laurent, who is probably the closest to getting it right, who wrote an article about squad tensions this week, and it's probably because he's friendly with two ex-PSG players on the squad, and a couple other French players, but it's just, God, I don't have a clue what the fuck is wrong, and something else than what we see has got to be going on.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, you know, I think the thing is whatever we did this summer, whatever Pochettino has done leading up to this moment, you know, even if players hadn't totally lost faith in it until now, like, at this moment in time, you know, where we are in the season, where Champions League qualification hangs in the balance, we're already out of the League Cup, you know, now it's a real fight for top four.
That's the optimistic take on it.
Right. Like, it's like, we've suddenly found ourselves in another rebuilding year, you know? Like, there is nothing that we can tell these players other than be patient and next season will be our year. And who wants to hear that after last season? Like, last season was supposed to be, you know, the year we had to suck it up and be patient through while, you know, we got into the new stadium, we made some good transfers, and then 2019, that was going to be the year we actually pushed the project forward. And instead, we haven't, and it's like, okay, Dele, okay, Harry, okay, Sonny, like, you know, just sit tight, next year we're going to have our shit together. Like, who wants to hear that? You know, some of these guys have given, like, 7-8 years. I mean, Eriksen, Vertonghen, those guys have been at Spurs for almost a decade now, you know? Hugo, like, they've given their whole prime of their careers to this team, and, you know, this is the moment where it was supposed to take that leap. Like, how many times has Daniel Levy have said to them, once we get in the new stadium, that's when, like, a corner, we're really going to turn a corner, and things are going to jump to the next level. And here we are, and, like, we're fucking not. You know, we're worse than we were last season. If he hadn't lost the dressing room before now, it's hard to see how he hasn't lost it at this point, after today.
Well, and, certainly lost it. I don't think today, because I don't think they ever looked in it today. It was, you know, against Bayern, where weirdly we look good for 30 minutes, and it was all fucking downhill from there. And part of the problem is, you know, as much as I loathe, like, you know, the stats bomb analysis of this, it sure looks like Harry Kane ain't firing on all cylinders this season, which is annoying because I thought all that guy needed was a summer where he didn't have to play a whole lot of football, and he got it. Yeah. And I don't know, maybe that's just a product of the larger dysfunction of the team. I hope so.
I mean, you know, it's weird. I don't think you need stats bomb to tell you that Harry Kane doesn't look up.
No, they were just first on this bandwagon.
Yeah, I mean, he did come back in preseason, like, looking physically fit. Like, his body, you know, he went from fat Harry Kane to, like, ripped Harry Kane. You're like, oh, welcome back, Harry. And, like, he has had games where he's, like, taken, like, 6 shots, scored goals, like, been a nuisance. And then he has games where he's, like, completely invisible.
And games like with England where he's done this. So, it would be easy if, you know, if it turns out in, like, a year we find out, oh, well, Spurs just sucked. And as soon as either Spurs sorted that out or we sold Harry Kane to Manchester United, he looks fine again. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if that's the case. But, Jesus Christ, Kane hasn't looked on it. Son's looked a little bit off. But, again, I don't know how much of all this is a product of just how shitty the team is right now. Because I think we're beyond, like, you know, we talked to Michael about this, or Kaylee about this, and, you know, his point was like, well, Kane was an elite shot creator back when he had a shitty midfield. And I think that's correct. I think it's worth remembering he played with Nabil Bentaleb and Ryan Mason in midfield, and he was still becoming a shot monster. But I think now we're at a point where it's worth considering, and I don't think this explains everything, but I think it might explain a little bit. Like, this team isn't just kind of with a meh midfield. Like, they're actively, there's an active problem here, and it might be affecting everybody.
Yeah. So I guess the question is just, like, how do we move forward? I mean, you know, we talk about, you know, tension between Pochettino and the players. How do you fix that? Can they muddle through?
I think they're going to have to.
Or do we have to fire Pochettino?
Pochettino's got 20-some million left on his contract. I think, I don't know about you, today was the first game, even after Bayern, I didn't think Pochettino would get fired this year. Today is the first game. It really felt like that AVB game, like you said, like you were saying earlier, just no energy, no fight, no commitment, no nothing, and it just looked just bleh. And I don't think we've ever seen that. I mean, the only time I can remember seeing that against Pochettino was that, what was it, against Stoke or Sunderland in his very first season here. It was like during the Kabul Cabal insurrection, when that team just looked flat as a pancake, and the next game was a League Cup match where he stuck Ryan Mason in and he scored that goal. And I think that was also coincided with him exiling all those players. But that's the only time I can ever remember seeing Spurs this flat. And honestly, that probably wasn't as bad as this. I don't know what the answer is. Like, I thought before this game, like, oh, muddle through. Maybe we move some guys in January, and, like, I don't know, maybe we get Dybala in, and that shows the team that we fucking give a shit. But I'm just, I don't know what it is. Like, I feel like it's muddled through, and hope you can just really turn this team over in the summer. But fuck, man, I don't know. I really don't know. Today's game has really left me shook, because I don't think we fire Pochettino. I think he's been too good and too hard to replace, especially in the middle of the season. And I also think that I don't know what the better option is. Like, it's not like bringing Eddie Howe in is going to fix anything, if you can get him. Mourinho will be a total fucking disaster if you bring him here with our transfer policy. Like, that's not a relationship that's destined to last. So, right. I think mean, like, you just hope.
The only way, I think, like, sorry, go ahead.
No, he's got an international break. You hope that it's like, this week's been a real fucking eye-opener. And, excuse me, and he pulls some rabbit out of his hat. But, shit, man, I don't know.
I mean, I think the reality is, like, if you fire Pochettino, you're still left with the same problem of you have this squad who is stuck at Spurs in a rebuilding year again, and that scenario doesn't change with or without Pochettino. You know, like, maybe the players respond if you bring in a new coach and, like, you can kind of see a future in a way that maybe you don't under Pochettino, but, like, you know, Jose Mourinho is not that guy to inspire people for, you know, that next year is going to be the year. Eddie Howe is not that guy. Like, unless you can get, like, a guy, you know, the best guy I can think of who's unemployed right now is Allegri after he left Juventus. Like, if you can get a guy like that in who has, like, you know, pedigree, title winner, Champions League, you know, good success there, like, you know, I can maybe see players being like, okay, like, this is worth sticking around for, this is worth fighting for. But, you know, short of that, I think you're left with a lot of the same problems where, you know, the team just checked out, and I don't know how you get them to check back in. You know, the other option is just to go full Sherwood and say, fucking do whatever you want out there, just have fun, the season doesn't matter. And, like, you know, maybe they just play up to their baseline talent, and we're never better than the sum of our parts, but, you know, our parts are good enough to, you know, muddle along into the Europa League, or, you know, maybe even fluke into the Champions League places because everybody else is so bad. But, like, that's it. You know, but the flip side is like, if you keep Pochettino, where does it get better? How does it get better? You
don't have
Ryan Mason you can throw in, do you?
Yeah, that's actually how I think it gets better. How does it get better? Okay, let's look at this. Let's look at what the best realistic case scenario is, which is, he takes the international break to get some of his shit in order. They have a real come-to-Jesus, like, opportunity, which is going to be hard given that everybody's on a fucking international break. If I were Spurs, after this shit, I would tell everybody, we're not releasing you for international duty, which I'm sure would go over really well. But putting that all aside, I think the way this gets better is we move some players in and out of the team, and Ndombele gets healthier, Lo Celso comes into the team and really changes the way we play, and Sessegnon injects something into the team as well, and maybe Kyle Walker-Peters is as good as people like Windy thought he could be, and like we were starting to believe he could be at the beginning of the season, and you can sort of fix your fullback situation. We have an injection of talent into the team that can actually alter the way we play, which I do think Lo Celso can do, and maybe that just gets us through the year. It gets things good enough where we can just muddle through, and in the summer we make some hard fucking moves, but... You know, I got to be honest, like, right now, it's hard, because even, I remember you were talking to me about this at the beginning of the year when we didn't keep Eric, when we managed to keep Eriksen. We were like, you know what, we're going to lose him, we're not going to get a lot of money for him, but fuck it, he's really good. Imagine all these players firing on all full cylinders will be really excellent. Like, Eriksen has looked really subpar so far this year. And honestly, that's something that really chaps my ass about these players. Sorry, I know I'm off on tangents now, but it's... If you really want to get out of this club and get a move, I don't understand how this is the way you do it. Maybe the team's so bad, other teams will write the season off. But, you know, if I'm Real Madrid... Yeah, if I'm Real Madrid and you're looking at Christian Eriksen, do you want to fucking buy him, even on a free?
I mean, yeah, probably. Like, you know, the rest of his career is still there as evidence of how good he is. And as you look at this team and what a clusterfuck it is, you're like, that's not Eriksen's fault, you know? I mean, he's still for free. Yeah, you buy him. But, I mean, so in terms of, like, you know, refreshing the squad midseason, you know, getting the guys in who give a fuck and getting rid of the guys who don't, like, the trouble is at this point, it just seems like there's too many guys who don't and not enough spark of guys who might.
You know? I agree with that. Okay, I do agree with that.
Best case scenario... Like, we get Lo Celso and Ndombele and Sessegnon coming in, and they're here ready to work because they're new in town. You know, Sissoko just got a new contract. He's probably good to go. You know, youth players, we've got, like, Tanganga and Parrott, who are the only ones close to the first team. Like, Harry Winks is bad, but you know he'll try hard. You know, Lucas looks like the only guy who could do anything today when he came off the bench. I mean, he's clearly got something to prove. But I don't know how happy he is right now, but, you know, maybe he'll put in the work. But, like, that's still, like, seven guys, you know?
No, I mean, it's a problem. Kane? It's a are real problem.
Toby and Vertonghen, like...
I don't know where... I honestly, like, I think probably the most realistic explanation is Lo Celso comes back and helps, Sessegnon comes back and helps, and things even out a little bit because they can't be this bad. Like, I understand the underlying numbers are bad. This isn't, I know Mike Goodman was posting about how, like, people were making Klopp's last year at Dortmund comparisons, but, you know, that was a weird year because Dortmund was just, you know, that was like the Villa game. Every game was like the Villa game for them, where it was like, they were mostly fine, it just wasn't working out for them. This year, it's weird for Spurs because we're actually bad. Our numbers aren't good, or at least they've really declined in recent weeks. It's just we're not performing well, and it's really not good. And I think there's a way in which it improves from where we are because, honestly, how could it get worse? But I just, like, I don't know. Like you said, maybe we muddle our way into the Champions League if things just really click at some point, but it doesn't feel like that. I'm grasping for straws, I feel like, if I'm looking for a best-case scenario, but... It's really bad. Today was maybe the most, like I said, the Liverpool game against AVB is probably the most depressing game I've watched as a Spurs fan. This feels pretty close to that.
Yeah, I mean, this was Brighton, and we got spanked. Like,
well, and it's not that we got spanked.
They scored, I think, at home all season.
Like, we've had bad games against a team like Newcastle, where we at least, like, looked like we were trying. I mean... This was just like, you know, it looked like you and I were on, it looked like everyone at Spurs was on their last day of work. If this happened to the last game of the season and everything was settled, you might tolerate this. But even then, I think I'd be angry about this performance.
Yeah. Yeah. it's just so frustrating. Like, a little bit of investment a year ago, and
maybe we all wanted to hang on to Christian Eriksen. That doesn't look like a good idea right now. Like,
I mean, well, now we're talking about, like, having to basically gut the squad, you know?
Yeah.
Like, how many guys we have to turn over or will demand to leave?
And yes. I was thinking a lot about that today. Like, what is, I mean, Lo Celso, and I think Lo Celso is definitely getting purchased. That loan deal's not. I think there's no. I think there's no way. I don't think he has a say in it. It's not like his loan deal with PSG last year. I think as long as Spurs want it to happen, it's going to happen. But regardless of your European competition, which is a fucking scary thing that we're talking about that in early October. But yeah, you're thinking about, like, what's Heung-min Son going to think at the end of the year? What's Dele Alli going to think at the end of the year? What's, you know, what are all these players? What's Harry Kane going to think at the end of the year? It's just, it's really, really fucking scary. I mean, especially if Pochettino's still here and they all fucking hate that guy.
Right. And, you know, again, now we're talking about a third rebuilding year in a row because next season is going to require a lot of squad shakeup. And it's going to be another year of transition, either with a new manager and a new squad or the same manager and a different squad or, you know, like, I'm just at a loss because I feel like the worst thing is just like, it's just, I feel so blindsided by it. Like,
yes.
I didn't see this coming. And I guess, you know, like we said, like, there's a lot of markers in hindsight that, like, maybe we should have, but, like,
Pochettino's all of his press conferences this summer.
Right. Like, they were all very grumpy.
And I still don't understand that. Like, we clearly went out and got his targets. Like, this was not a summer of us not doing what he wanted. Like, maybe he was mad that Eriksen was still on the team. I don't know.
Right. I mean, I think that's part of it, is that we didn't get rid of Eriksen and Aurier and Toby and, like, the guys who wanted out, who, you know, that's like a real kernel of malcontents going into the season that, like, we ended up having to rely on because, you know, we didn't have replacements.
Jesus, it's just, like you said, it's blindside. I never would have imagined it's this bad. And I can get really negative. I can get really negative, and I wouldn't have imagined this.
Yeah, I mean, even a week ago, you know, I was talking like, well, you know, the tactics are problematic. We don't have a real midfield. Like, we're missing some pieces. Like, even then, as much as Pochettino was grumbling and as bad as things looked, I still wasn't ready to accept the possibility that, like, it had all gone wrong.
Well, you can make excuses for yourself.
Like, oh, yeah, obviously. Right. It was just, I've been happy to make excuses all season long.
Well, because there are, like, I don't think what we were saying on this podcast after the Newcastle game, I don't think anything we said after that game was unreasonable with the information we had available to us at that moment in time. Like, there was no indication that this team wasn't going to sort of figure it out. And I don't know if it's structural issues or just the shit's piled up, but it's just gotten worse and worse. And like, even with that game, like we were like I was talking about earlier with Crystal Palace, we got that game where it's like, okay, we should be able to feel better about everything because this we you know had a feel good game with no negatives. It didn't help, you know.
Yeah.
And frankly, we've gotten kind of lucky a lot of times this year. Like, we went up 2-0 on Arsenal. That was probably a little fortunate, even though I don't think we played badly in the early stages of that game. We went 2-0 up on Olympiacos, and that was definitely really fortunate. But we threw all those games away. You know, I was attributing this, like, giving up goals at halftime, right before halftime, to be sort of a dumb luck thing at a part of the year, or maybe just some issues with our defensive organization. But all those people who were talking about, maybe it's a spirit issue, where's the concentration in the squad? They might have been right. Broken clocks right twice a day.
Yeah, so, you know.
So where,
it's all over.
So I think there's one question on Tottenham fans' minds today. So let's wrap up a little bit and talk about this. Alluded to it, but I don't think we've addressed it. Do you think Mauricio Pochettino is the manager of Tottenham Hotspur at the end of the season? Sitting here, just so it's clear, we are less than an hour away from this defeat against Brighton. So, just so we're clear to everyone listening to this, if they listen to it a few days from now, do you think Mauricio Pochettino lasts the season?
I think he does. And I think part of it that tips the balance between like the various options we talked about, you know, either Pochettino gets to stay and be a tyrant as much as he needs to whip things into shape, or we find a new manager. I think the thing that tips the balance is if we fire Pochettino, it's like a £25 million contract we have to buy out. And I don't think that Levy wants to do that. I mean, I think the possibility is like Zidane goes at Real Madrid and then they come calling for Pochettino. And then, you know, that gets us out of our contract problem. And now we don't owe him money because he's leaving us and not the other way around.
If you're Madrid, scenario, do you think the bloom's gone off the rose with Pochettino, at least for this moment in time? Like, I'm not...
I don't think so.
If he completely lost this squad, like, I don't know. Like, squad management's a big part of Madrid. And I understand it's like a short-term thing there. Like, he'd be starting over from scratch, and he builds it up, and if he loses them 2 years down the line, that is what it is. But I gotta think he's not as attractive as he was only a few months ago. Maybe I'm overreacting to that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that would be real short-term thinking after seeing what Pochettino has done over the last 5 years to think now he's a bad manager. And, you know, I don't think Real Madrid has a problem refreshing and turning over a squad the same way we do. They have funds, and they're willing to spend them. So, you know, some of those problems wouldn't be their problems. I don't know. But, yeah, I think he sees out the season.
Do you think he's here next year? Assuming that happens.
I think if we back him through the season, unless something goes, like, relegation-y bad.
Okay, so...
Yeah. I think the idea would be we're keeping him through the season with the plan to reinvest and refresh the squad for him.
Yeah, because I guess my question is, and first I would like to welcome my wife, who made a casual appearance on the podcast right there as she came back from grocery shopping. I'm trying to think of, like, what gets him fired, because, the top six is really kind of shitty this year, so I mean, think about that Sherwood year, and we still finished in European competition spaces. I'm just trying to think, like, if we finished the year and we're not in the Europa League, do they, like, fire Pochettino? I mean, do they just count themselves lucky they sort of got through it? I mean, there's, with the stadium, with our corporate partners, there's going to be a lot of pressure to keep ourselves, like, at the top of the ladder. But I think that plays into, like, we know what Pochettino can do. Who else are we going to get? Like, I mean, Mourinho, I think, is just a total fucking disaster on every possible level. I don't know. I really don't know. I think he's probably here. And in a weird way, this might help us hold on to him. If we back him through the year, he might be really grateful. And also, after this year, I think the bloom might be a little bit off the rose, at least for the time being. So he might not get poached by another team. Get it, poached. But
I think we back him through the season with a plan to, like, refresh in the summer. You know, I think he's probably happy to stay and not looking for other opportunities.
Yeah, boy, he'll be on the hot seat next year if he makes it. I don't know. If he makes it through this year, things are going to have to get better.
Yes, surely. We've never seen things get worse after a
no,
bad
no.
year.
What I'm saying
that
is,
that never happened.
If it continues to get worse, like, I think you and I are both sort of predicating him staying with this is the nadir. We're close to it. Like, it can't get worse. I cannot imagine it getting worse than this. I can imagine, like, Liverpool to beat the shit out of us. We have to start playing better against the teams we should beat. Otherwise, I think that's, you know, if we're in, like, 14th in January, fuck, I don't know what happens to them unless, like, half the squad's injured.
I mean, you know, I don't know. I have no answers and no ideas. I mean, there's so many things behind the scenes that we don't know about, you know, what the fractures actually look like, who is actually still bought in and who's checked out, what other managers are available, you know, like Levy has been, has, you know, had had no problem firing Martin Jol at halftime or sacking Juan de Ramos shortly after winning our only trophy in the last 20 years.
Yeah, like, but those guys weren't Pochettino.
No, I know. Again, I mean, he fired Harry Redknapp. You know, like, guys who have done a lot for this club, you know.
It's less about that. It's just, like, where are you going to get someone this good?
Right. Again, like, the guy I keep thinking of is Allegri, is available right now without a job. I don't know if he wants it. I don't know if he's holding out for something else. I don't know if he's in talks with Real Madrid to replace Zidane. I have no idea. You know, there's probably other managers. There's some fun, exciting managers in, you know, Germany and various small clubs around the continent that could be interesting. There's some guys, I mean, like, fuck, Graham Potter at Brighton today whipped our ass, you know? There's guys in England who, you know, might be the next version of Pochettino to make a leap from a small club to a big club. I mean, there's just so many moving pieces that I have...
Well, this goes back to the reporting thing. We have no clue what the fuck is actually going on.
Right. And again, the reality is like, I didn't know this was coming a couple of months ago, so I don't feel confident predicting goddamn anything.
I don't know. This team better come out. Who do we play after the international break?
Watford, then Liverpool.
Yeah, well, we better come out like a house of fucking fire against Watford.
Yeah.
I mean, no excuses there. I didn't think there were any excuses today, frankly, given what we'd look like against Bayern.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a good note to end on.
Yeah, well, Ben, where can people find you on the internet?
Don't. Find me on the internet. It was just sadness. But if you really want to, you can follow me on Twitter at ComradeUSpurs.
You can find me crying about Tottenham Hotspur on Twitter at SkipJack0079. I hope we have happier podcasts to bring you. This was kind of impromptu, so we were just trying to pod our way through it, as it were. I don't know. Hopefully it gets better. It's hard to imagine it getting worse, but we play Liverpool in like 3 weeks, so, or 4 weeks, I guess. So that'll probably be it. I don't know. We hope it gets better. We'll talk to you soon. For Ben, for myself, for Brett Rainbow, and for Sorrow, I'm your host, Craig. Come on, you Spurs.